Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
In this audiocast number 7, we get a sample of what more exclusive content is about as I share my thoughts in a deep dish discussion about Alfie Evans. So just sit back and...
1, 2, 3, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
Welcome back to a special week of Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And this week, I'm going to change it up. Usually, I start off with an appetizer or an amuse-bouche, but this topic about Alfie Evans and what him and his parents and what everybody who loved him went through, it's definitely no laughing matter. But I want to use this time to kind of explain what I'm offering this week. And this week, I'm going to be offering a sample of what sponsors will be receiving. It's basically extra content that if you're a sponsor, you're going to be getting more deep dish discussion, but it'll be a unique perspective. It will actually be my perspective and perspective of other Catholics who are friends of mine or other people who might be like-minded, and you just might want to hear a little bit about more contemporary issues. You see, I'll be very honest, the shows are obviously pre-recorded simply because I have to give it a few days and kind of re-listen to all of the things that I heard, you know, and what I hear is that, number one, I don't have all the answers, and two, some of my questions might be stupid, and three, like, I'm trying to bring a little bit of levity to a very difficult topic, and the only way that we can do that is if we don't get so emotionally invested and think that that very moment is the only kind of opinion or thought that I'm going to have. And so what I want to do for my exclusive content, and this is for premium sponsors, I'm going to give them some more, number one, contemporary topics. Number two, I'm going to give them more Catholic-focused topics or Christian-focused topics, things that affect the faith more, because you know that part of the things that I do is I'm going to be talking about things that aren't necessarily about the Catholic Church. You know, I'm going to be talking to a whole array of people who might not know I'm a Catholic priest, just because that's the only way that I'm going to get an interview out of them, or more importantly, no, that's not true. That's not true. You know what? They're always going to know I'm a Catholic priest, but my point is it's not always going to be about Catholic topics. And the third thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to at least just give a chance for people to hear what my thoughts are, not just in the deep discussions and the carry out orders, but in what I'm really going through. And this past week, it's all about, well, past several weeks, it was about Alfie Evans. It's about hearing this horrible situation of a little boy who just went through hell and back, and even worse, his parents. And so what I'm going to do is, when we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more about this as I shoot the shiitake with a priest friend of mine. You'll hear all about him. His name is Father Stephen Hamilton from the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City in Oklahoma, and he came to visit me just a few days after Alfie Evans passed away, and we both, as priests who are committed to the pro-life movement. We were just kind of both taken aback by it, especially since, you'll hear Father Hamilton talk about this in the Deep Dish discussion, how his mind went to Alfie Evans when we visited the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. And so I'd consider this episode all about respecting the dignity of life at all stages, including respecting the lives of people we completely disagree with. And in this case, and in this week, even now, a couple weeks after Alfie Evans passed away, I still get a little frustrated knowing what the doctors and what the courts, what they all did not do for this little boy. So prepare for a deep dish discussion as we talk about Alfie Evans. And I will have to say this, one of the newest additions to the Holy Innocents, the martyrs, those children who have been killed just because they were just trying to live. So when we come back, we'll enter into this deep dish discussion and hopefully we'll get some clarity about this whole mess of a situation. Alfie Evans, you are not forgotten. Since the start of the show, we've received thousands and thousands of downloads, and there have been some people who've stepped up to not only advertise with us to our potential crowd, but also people who have just been very generous in making some monthly occurrences. And you gotta know how much that means to me. This show is not an easy thing to do or produce, and it does take some funds. So if you want to be a support, to continue to hear more engaging conversations on topics of relevancy that can truly build bridges rather than building up walls, then please support us at fatherleofeeds.com/listen. There you'll find the Shoot the Shiitake icon, and we can continue to bring about conversion through conversation. Hey everybody, you are listening to a special deep dish discussion on Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, and this is for exclusive sponsors only. This is a Learning from Leftovers, and today we have a special guest. His name is Father Stephen Hamilton from the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City in Oklahoma, and we are just shooting the shiitake here. It is a beautiful spring day. It is a really nice time of the year, and I just made some guacamole. I didn't have any cilantro, so instead I used a little bit of parsley. I used a little bit of celery fronds as well as some arugula. And then I don't even have chips. So we're using these gourmet flatbread sesame seed chips. And because I'm Filipino, I'm also breaking into some pork rinds. Father Hamilton, thanks for joining me.
Great to be here with you.
So what we're going to do is we're going to just jump right into this. You know, recently we heard about a horrible case of little Alfie Evans. You all have heard about him. If you're paying attention to the world, we were all focused on this one little boy who was supposed to have died 3 days after he was connected to a ventilator. This just brings up a whole reminiscent, painful experience of the Charlie Gard case in 2017. And in 2005, I believe it was the Terry Schiavo where, treatment for children and treatment for adults, but this really opens up a ton of worms for us in pastoral care providing. So I don't know if you know much about it. We're just shooting the shiitake here. But Father, tell me what your experience was in hearing it in the news.
So I guess I wouldn't consider myself to be as informed as I would like about all the details of the case. But I certainly, in these final days, became much more aware of all the efforts the parents were going through to try to provide some care for their child in a very unique situation.
Yeah. I mean, the situation was he gets brought in because he had some seizures. And in that kind of testing, they diagnosed him with a very rare disease. He will be brain dead. And they put him basically into a sedative state. And it was just – so we don't know exactly what's going on. They wanted to take their kid to Italy. He was given passports from the Pope himself. Nice. But the courts and the doctors deemed that he would be a flight risk if he left the hospital. And no one really knows what the situation is. I mean, just looking at this as someone who wasn't as invested in the news, what were your thoughts on this?
Well,
by the way, if you hear crunching, it's me eating.
So my thoughts, I guess my first thought was here is I saw news accounts of Alfie's father presume the mother was just as invested in the efforts they made, but of course someone had to stay with the child, right? So Alfie's father was trying to do whatever he could to provide care for his son. So my first thoughts really came about these final days of Alfie's young life, that here we have parents who are wanting to provide something for their child, and others are making the decision for them about what is in the best interest of the child. And it leaves some pretty disturbing questions. Why do other entities get to decide that? Who says they get to decide that? So
well,
in this case, the
wouldn't
courts
it be any no different from, like, if a parent is doing something bad or harming the child, the state comes in and rectifies the situation and removes the child from a hostile situation.
Sure.
But in this case, I was having real difficulty that they were making these analyses in comparison, knowing that these parents weren't trying to harm the child. They were trying to save the kid's life.
Seems fundamentally different. So these parents are not doing anything to harm the child whatsoever. They're seeking to provide the best they can as parents for their child. And you know, I often tell parents, I've had some complicated situations as a priest myself in pastoral care where people have children who have just very complicated diseases. And you know their life expectancy is lower than would be normal. In a certain sense, the parent's main job, you know, boil it down and summarize it down to one thing, is to simply love the child, to provide them a loving environment. And there's nothing about the activities, the choices of the parents here that would seem to indicate this child needed to be removed because of danger. Rather, they were trying to provide something good for this child.
And so they bring this child to this hospital called Alderhay. I did a little research on it and just realized that they were sued several times. Many hospitals are sued, but there just seems to be a higher proportion, at least in quantity and quality, of kids who have died from this situation at this hospital. Because it's a state-run hospital, and so there is a tendency to, in a socialized country, to kind of just base it on socialized principles. It's pretty utilitarian. And what I mean by that is that they're evaluating someone's worth by their utility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the technical phrase.
So how they're useful or not.
Whether they're useful or not, or whether they're going to be able to contribute something to heal this child. And what kind of frustrated me, and this is my whole contention the entire time. By the way, how is the guacamole?
It's delicious.
Good. I'm glad.
It's fresh.
It's a little different.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. So we're just here shooting the shiitake with Father Hamilton, again, a pastor at a parish in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And one of my big contentions was that in the case of Alfie Evans, they denied the parents the ability to try. They considered the parents a flight risk if they removed them from the hospital. The parents were willing to sign every affidavit to say that we're not going to sue anybody. We just want to go and try something else. They were forbidden to.
Yes.
They were literally held hostage in this hospital.
And it sure seems, from what I saw in the news, the hospital was taking all sorts of measures to just tie the hands of the parents, to prevent their making choices for the child. So we have the refusal to release the child.
That's right.
We have, I saw pictures on the news of just police shoulder to shoulder outside, I guess preventing people from coming in and going out.
So yeah, so there was certainly a lot of demonstrations that occurred, understandably so,
right.
Not unlike the peaceful demonstrations that you see at abortion clinics where, you know,
correct,
those people's hands are tied too. They're not allowed to even voice their opinion, even though it is a public place and they're allowed to have free speech. The other issue that I found frightening was that there were divisions in terms of the medical results. So granted, this young boy certainly had a very difficult situation ahead of him. He was having seizures and they basically put him in a sedative state. That's what concerns me. You know, like I know that I can trust that most hospitals don't want to harm children.
Right.
But we also know that there are cultures who kind of see children as a pain in the butt.
Sure.
I mean, that's just straight out of the pro-choice movement. And by the way, when we say pro-choice, it's pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just be honest about that.
That's the convenient language for pro-abortion.
Tell me what your experience has been in working in the pro-life movement, Father.
Well, I would say that my first experiences with the pro-life movement, they came when I was a seminarian in college. I attended St. Meinrad College Seminary at the time,
mm-hmm,
and that is about 45 minutes or so from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep.
But every Saturday throughout the year, a number of seminarians would gather. We would depart the seminary early in the morning to drive to Louisville to gather and pray outside of an abortion clinic in Louisville, Kentucky. And that is all we did is pray. We were not there to do sidewalk counseling or intervention
of any kind.
Don't you
feel like you were probably being oppressive to some of these people? Would that be kind of an argument against that?
Well, that's what others would say on the other side of the issue, right?
Sure.
But we were by no means even interacting with the people walking into that clinic.
Yeah, you were just being a visible sign.
We were simply being present there. We were present and we were praying. We didn't engage with those walking in, but the clinic escorts very clearly thought that we were a threat. And they would level just nasty things at us and say terrible things to us. And I can tell you from that experience, I saw young girls being brought into that clinic, and you could tell they themselves were under duress. They were crying in some cases.
That's horrible. It was, when you're talking young, how old are
you? I'm talking teenage girls.
You've got to be kidding me.
No. And walking in, and this group surrounding them, like just pushing them into the doors of the clinic. So parents in some cases.
Because they didn't want the girls to see you praying.
They just wanted to make sure they got a job done, I think.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I'm sure it was they didn't want them to see people praying. They didn't want anything that would interfere with them
entering
that clinic.
Did you guys have the nasty signs up of the aborted fetuses?
We did not, actually.
And by the way, let's just make sure we understand something. The word fetus in Latin means small person, foetus. That's what it means. And by the way, the word choice comes from the notion of decision. And the word decision comes from the Latin verbs cidere, and the verb cidere means to kill.
Mm.
And that's why when someone makes a decision, they literally kill an issue. And when one makes a choice to have an abortion, they literally kill a small person, a fetus.
Right.
So this is just the language. And so that mentality spirals and snowballs into whether or not we think someone is worth something because of their utility, their usefulness. What frightens me about this is that there are families out there who are watching this case where they actually had been raising a child who had the same condition as Alfie, and they're still raising this child. And they're loving this child,
right,
even though the child is now older, invalid, maybe brain dead, you might call it. But the parents love this child.
Right.
They don't want to get rid of this baby. It created a great amount of duress and struggle and challenge for that family to live a quote-unquote healthy and natural life. But they don't want to kill this baby.
No. And so now they must have many second thoughts about even trying to get appropriate health care for their child, because what happens if they walk into the hospital?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're kept prisoners inside there.
And you said it, health care. So my dad's a doctor, and my dad was just disgusted by this whole thing.
Right.
Because a doctor's job, according to the Hippocratic Oath, is to find a cure. And what seemed to happen was in Alfie's case – they didn't want anyone to find a cure. They just freaking gave up. They stopped every kind of care.
And it seems that they locked in on the only solution here was that this child needs to
die. Go away.
Right.
They just need to have this baby go away.
Mm-hmm.
And what kills me is that they were supposed to take this child to Ospedales Bambino Gesù. And we know about that.
Yeah.
Tell me what your experience of Ospedale Bambino Gesù is, which is the hospital baby Jesus in Italy,
yep.
Vatican City State, which happened to be
right next door to the Pontifical North American College, where we met one another and were fellow seminarians and students. Yeah, so when I first arrived at the North American College, and for the duration of my time there, my—
Crunching, by the way, people. I'm eating pork rinds.
There you go. My room was on the hospital side, the Bambino Gesù hospital side of the entire complex.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you saw the buildings outside of our windows. You heard the ambulances arrive. I actually, I believe it was a semester, my apostolic assignment was to go visit children in the cancer ward of the Bambino Gesù hospital.
Wow.
So it's a noted pediatric hospital located in a room on the Janiculum Hill right next door to the Pontifical North American College. And so when Alfie – my understanding is when Alfie's father came to Rome to meet the Pope, he made a request knowing that people in his own country were not responding to Alfie's needs or seeming sympathetic.
A citizen with a passport was not given – because of socialized medicine, advanced treatment, because it was going to cost too much money and they didn't have the science to back it up. And secondly, passport holders were not allowed to actually leave their own country.
True. And so my understanding of this case, the Pope very strongly intervened to ask the Italian parliament to do something. And they responded by granting Italian citizenship to Alfie. And intended to bring him thereby to the Bambino Gesù Hospital to receive some treatment to see what could be done to aid this child, to increase his quality of life and to save him. And the Alder Hey Hospital would not permit the release of this child to receive that treatment, even though he had been granted citizenship and that all things were in place to bring that child to this hospital.
Even worse, though, doctors were convinced that there's divisions in the medical community about what the kid's situation was. So there was not necessarily a conclusion. Everyone in England seems to think, oh, there was nothing you can do. First of all, I have never met a real scientist who would say, we stop here.
Right.
It's almost like scientists stop doing science. Medical people stop doing medicine. Researchers stop doing research. What the heaven kind of researcher are you if you just give up completely?
Sure.
By the way, if you people hear kind of background noise, because we're sitting out on my patio, we're overlooking the city of Baltimore, or at least the tops of buildings, because I don't live on a high rise. I don't live on the east side. I don't live in the luxury place here. So if you're hearing kind of ghetto blasters, it's because I live in a partial ghetto community. Another story.
Apparently.
Yeah,
and I'm
apparently
from Oklahoma City, and I don't know what's going on here.
We're going to actually talk about that in another Learning from Leftovers. But when we talk about race, that's going to be fun. We're still stuck on the Charlie Gard issue extended into Alfie Evans' case.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the mom and dad were just beautiful people.
Yes, indeed. Young
couple.
Was this their first child?
I think so. And the father, a Catholic, the mother is, I think,
Anglican, I believe, right?
Father goes to see the Pope. The look on the father's face, first of all, he just seemed like a young lad trying to save his kid. I mean,
he is thrust into things he never would have imagined, right?
Heartstrings tugging left and right. The mother tried to stay out of it because she had to take care of some things, and the dad tried to do what a dad does, protect his kid. But the scientists stopped doing science, and they tried to take him to, first of all, Italy, where their death rate is higher than the birth rate.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to realize this, folks. We're talking about life issues here. You know, and Father Steve and I, we're not going to have anything conclusive to offer you but perspectives from a pastoral point of view. But the one thing that I remember, Steve, and we can do this because we're friends, right? People always freak out when they hear something like someone say, Leo.
That's his name? That's my name. No, I thought his first name was Father. What are you talking about? Father.
And we were at dinner the other night with a bishop, and we just kept calling him
Bishop. Would you say the prayer for us, please?
Bishop. And the poor guy was just, oh, gosh. So back to this. They wanted to take him to Ospedale Bambino Gesù. And there is a story of a seminarian who remembers sitting at his desk studying, and a father from across the parking lot in the hospital screams out to the seminarians, Seminaristi, prega per il mio figlio.
Oh, my God!
Screams out, seminarians, pray for my son. And that's what Alfie Evans' dad was trying to do.
Wow, yeah.
Just getting the world to just pray for him.
Sure, sure. Doing whatever he could to get some attention to his son's needs. And it's pretty horrifying to think that – you're right. When you said it's as if they stopped doing science. It's as if they stopped practicing medicine. I mean, the images of police shoulder to shoulder outside that hospital door, which, let's face it, I'm sure the hospital would say it's to prevent people from coming from the outside in who might disrupt the atmosphere and the needs of the hospital. But the reality is this was also a line that kept people from getting out. So this hospital became like a prison where that child was forced to stay to die in accord with the decisions of I don't know who, some government panel.
It was a court.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Affected by certain doctors who are held in high esteem, the one thing that I just wanted to tell all doctors, you don't know everything.
True.
I'm sorry, doctors. You know a lot. You don't know everything. And for you to say that there is no hope, that pissed me off.
Sure.
I mean, I would just be – I would sit in my chapel, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Father.
Father.
I would sit in my chapel and be like, who the hell do these people think they are that they're saying there's no hope?
Right. I mean, I remember reading the tweets after, I guess, the hospital intervened for its final kind of lethal decision, right, by removing the ventilator. And they, in their expert opinions, I guess, had said the child would not live but maybe 3 hours.
Minutes.
Oh, 3 minutes.
He, well, this because child. Because you can't breathe. for more than a minute, you're dead.
Okay. Well, this child survived for much, much longer.
I think more than 3 days.
Definitely more than 3 days. I want to say it was 4 to 5.
Yeah. I don't know all of the facts.
It certainly was much longer than the hospital indicated in their expert medical opinion. And you want to say, you know, what kind of a place is this that when this type of medical intervention was denied the child and he didn't, in fact, die as they said he would, and then now we're all watching this child struggle to live for the next several days, and they're doing nothing to help him. They definitely stopped doing medicine.
So I put out a few tweets, went very viral. And by the way, you can follow me at fatherleofeeds.com or at fatherleofeeds on all the social media. But my tweet was simply this. The country of England, and especially the city of Britain, just allows everyone without a passport to come in. And they are literally holding a passport holder and locking them in place. They're providing every type of provision for any type of immigrant to come. And believe me, we're going to talk about immigrants at another, you know, learning from the leftovers here. But these weren't immigrants. These were citizens. All right. And they were denied some basic care. Mm-hmm. Not even the ability to go home. They right. literally were locked right. in, and they were made to go be kept home.
To endure watching their son die.
In a completely – look, I don't care how good you think a hospital is. It's a stinking hospital. It's not a place to die.
No, it's not.
So let me just ask you this. I mean, we've got about 10 minutes here on this learning from leftovers. This happened recently. We know that this was a sad situation. I have been offering prayers for them.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? I mean, because there's a lot of people who are listening right now. And they're going to just ask, what do I do with all of this? And so we have to offer some perspective. One, I think that if you are angry, you are justified in being angry.
Correct.
You just can't turn it into a bitterness and into a type of anger that makes you more righteous than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have some righteous anger and you can have some zeal, but you cannot now turn yourself into, and this is to you, a Timothy McVeigh case.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because, you know, like
back in my hometown,
Oklahoma
right.
City, there were some rightists mm-hmm. movements that thought that they were righter more right than the government
yeah, sure.
and blew up Oklahoma City,
exactly.
including killing several children.
Many children, right. 168 people killed and
so
many children.
So how do we act righteously angry, Father? I mean, like if you were just to try to counsel someone who's literally going ballistic, and there are some people who are going ballistic right now, like in their own heart and mind, they're
right.
probably plotting. We're saying that's not Catholic.
Right.
What would you offer to them?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is this should give us a potent lesson. We've got to stop being complacent about things that happen around us in society and in government. So, I mean, a fundamental issue here is parental rights. I mean, the parents were not harming their child in any way.
Yeah. Yeah, there
and
was
they
no
were,
proof of that.
They were prevented from doing what would have, out of love, been a good for their son.
Yeah.
I hope this doesn't, you know, spin us off into an entirely different topic, but, you know.
We'll come back for another show.
So today, we visited the National Holocaust Museum.
That's right.
Okay, so I've been wanting to go to this museum since its opening and just have never made it happen. And I found it interesting. I walked in there expecting to hear about and learn about and in a certain sense live through the experience of the Holocaust, right? And yet when I walked in there, I found myself as I was reading the different displays, there was an immediate connection between the program of the Nazis to eliminate Jews and euthanasia. My mind immediately went to modern day times. What sort of things are often connected like that? And here we have an example of Alfie Evans, where a hospital, government entity, others making decisions for parents are deciding this child's best interest is to die.
This is socialism at its finest right now. What would you say about socialism? Because there are actually a large group of young people, particularly, who would like socialism. So it would be socialized medicine would be a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone pays into a government-based healthcare system. And believe me, if people want to get into a debate about healthcare, Catholics were the first healthcare system ever. We
right.
provided it for free.
Exactly.
All right, so just get off your high horses, people.
Well, so what would happen if suddenly, for instance, we as Catholics with the history we have and the great example and works we have in healthcare, if we were suddenly either prevented from providing healthcare or if we just decided, you know what, the government's or the society's decisions about healthcare are so inimical to ours that we're not going to do this anymore. I mean,
correct.
What would happen?
Well, that's exactly what socialist medicine does. And I'm not making fun of anyone who works at the Department of Motor Vehicles, but could you imagine your healthcare looking like that? Where government workers...
It's a reasonable question.
...sometimes do the very minimum. And I'm not saying this is true for everyone. So please, if you're a government worker and you are a zealous worker and you're trying to do your best, God bless you. But even in the Catholic Church, like, we know that you're always going to get a paycheck, but that doesn't mean that everyone's going to do the equal amount of work for it.
Correct.
And so we have to get rid of this mentality. And in socialist medicine, they're not always excelling necessarily.
No.
It's... And I'm not for the private sector medicine either, but I'm talking about a doctor who says there's nothing more we can do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they therefore limit an option for this child's parents to try to do something further. That's what socialized medicine is.
And that no one would seemingly – no one from the medical community who was part of this decision to withhold care, to whatever it was, no one would seem to change their decision, their opinion when this child lingered well beyond their expert medical opinion. I'm just trying to imagine, like, saying my advice or my expert medical opinion is this child will not live beyond 3 minutes. We are wasting energy. We are wasting resources for a situation that cannot improve. We turn the ventilator off.
Correct.
And the child is alive for 3-4 days or so.
That's right.
And they did nothing. I mean, in other words, recently my family had to deal with the loss of a pet, okay?
Okay.
Sorry to hear that. Well, thank you. But the instant that – it seemed the pet had cancer that was not going to be able to be resolved, the compassionate solution in the case of a pet was to euthanize it.
Sure.
Okay? I'm not suggesting that euthanasia in relationship to human beings is a legitimate option. I'm not saying that or moral
option. We should talk
option.
About that too.
But that we let Alfie linger for days. And then associated with this was not only the removal from a ventilator, but the no food – parents prevented from intervening on his behalf.
Sure.
And then even pastoral care. I mean, so news stories reporting that the priest who was trying to be there with the family was expelled from the situation.
But knowing that the Archdiocese of, I am not quite sure, Westminster maybe, they've said very little. As a matter of fact, they kind of questioned the Catholicity of the father. I'm sorry, maybe the father might have not been the most practicing Catholic, but if he's trying to reach out to the
Pope. He certainly was the moral witness the church seeks to be.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. At least he was trying to be a dad, trying to save his son. You know, I put another tweet out there on Father Leo Feeds, and it basically said this, that if this was a alien life form or like an endangered species, and we discovered that it was able to survive longer than life expectancy according to socialist science, they would have had every medical scientist out there trying to investigate this life.
Of course.
They didn't do that with Alfie. They just literally abandoned it.
We'd want to know what we can learn from that.
We would want to learn. I don't think that there's any
learning.
But in
Alfie's case, no.
No, it's just the child is dying.
In that case, they only wanted to confirm what they already suspected.
So if you could just kind of offer a pastoral thought for people who are hurting, and I'm sure there are many people who are, what would you say to them?
Look, there is nothing about the human decisions made surrounding Alfie that is really going to make sense, okay, at any point. All we can do is recall that the passion of the Lord Jesus was being lived out in a way right before our eyes.
Correct.
And that when we relive the passion and consider it, when we celebrate it liturgically in the sacred rites of Holy Week, this is not a foreign experience far from us. It's happening right around us.
Correct.
And Alfie's a great reminder of that. The passion of the Lord Jesus to suffer for his people, the human heart so just wounded by sin.
Mm-hmm.
These sorts of things are all around us, present day, and it's as recent as that. Alfie Evans, right before our eyes, was kept a prisoner in a place that should have provided health and life for him.
How ironic that there is a ice cream truck in the background.
Can people hear that? I was wondering myself.
Yeah, they can definitely hear the ice cream truck, and kids are going to swarm to that.
Right.
They're just going to swarm
to that. You can
hear
the voices of you. I don't know if you hear the microphone.
Yeah, there's kids playing right now. And I just think that if there's anything that we might be able to do, because frankly, folks, there's very little you can do. You can write sympathy letters. You can write to your Congress and say, you know, we don't want anything like this ever to happen. We want every life. You need to come to a right to life march, the true Save a life march, you know?
Right.
Not from guns necessarily, but yeah, but I got to tell you, there are more kids who die from medical equipment, whether it be a scalpel or a suction cup, that die.
Wow.
So
go
participate in your right to life marches. Don't be angry. Don't be a bitter, jaded, angry person.
Right.
Don't be someone who is going to threaten life, you know, to because you are going to seek revenge for Alfie. You're an idiot. If you do that, you are from the devil, him or herself. So don't even think about trying to harm anyone else's life. I'm just taking a stand right now.
Yeah.
Every life is sacred, even those idiotic, disgusting doctors and lawyers who killed
Alfie. Of
course
they are, right.
So don't even think that this show is trying to encourage that.
We would denounce anything that would seem to harm them, too.
And the
third thing, we're just confronting their decisions.
And continue to shine an obnoxious light on them.
Right.
It was amazing that even on Twitter it wasn't trending. It only trended when he died.
It's incredible.
So there is an evil that we're fighting here, and the only thing that's really going to help is prayer and maybe some ice cream when we get off in just a minute. But here's what I'm going to recommend. On the 28th of April every year, put it in your calendar and just remember Alfie.
Alfie, yeah.
You remember that show Alf?
Yes, I remember.
Alien life form Alfie?
Right.
I think it was Alfie, wasn't it?
It was, well, Alf. I guess, I mean, I think it was called Alfie, kind of.
I think it was called Alfie. This was like in the 80s when Punky Brewster was a thing.
Yes.
I just kind of dated myself.
You totally did.
They called it alien life form. That's what it stood for.
Oh, I see.
That's
what Alf, I didn't know that.
Kind of stood for.
Ah.
And I just think to myself, we're spending gajillion dollars to try to find a cluster of cells on another planet.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do, we're going to celebrate it.
Right.
And I think that as believers, the only thing that we can do at this point is realize that there was a cluster of life who was struggling to breathe
right
on this planet.
Here. Exactly.
Right here.
And we were turning our gaze elsewhere.
That's right. So if you haven't heard of this, then get out from the rock that you live in. And then more importantly, turn your hearts not into rocks anymore, but into living, loving things that's going to love the least of our brothers and sisters. And that's our basic learning from our leftovers here on Shoot the Shiitake, an extended deep dish discussion for all of our sponsors. And we can't thank you enough. And we hope that this conversation encourages you to support, subscribe, and to encourage others to share. And we thank you for your support. God bless you. We'll be back for more Shoot the Shiitake every Thursday at about 2 or 3 o'clock. That's kind of what I'm shooting for. And also for our premium listeners, more Learning from the Leftovers. God bless you. And we hope you enjoyed that extended Learning from Leftovers deep dish discussion, which is basically a sample of the exclusive content that I'm offering to my premium subscribers. But folks, please know there's a ton of free stuff out there on my website. So you would get a free weekly email blast if you subscribe, which will help you to know when the shows are coming out. You could also stay connected on all my social media at Father Leo Feeds. And also you can get some bite-sized theology, which are 1 minute inspirational little audio bites, basically, and that plays on Sirius XM 129 as well as on Catholic stations across the country, but you can listen to it anytime you want if you just simply go to my website at fatherleofeeds.com/listen, where you can be part of a faithful foodie of families, and more importantly, stay inspired and to stay hungry for more. Welcome back for my carryout order as I reflect on my conversation with Father Stephen Hamilton, good friend from the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City in Oklahoma. And I'm kind of happy that as a podcast, I can kind of do whatever I want. You know, like my show's focus, Shoot the Shiitake, is really about just kind of engaging the secular world, people who may not be Catholic, people who may not be Christian, people who may not be believers, and they may have an opinion very different from mine. But I'll be honest, as much as I love doing that and trying to find some common ground, I do take comfort knowing that this show could also be a place where I just simply shoot the shiitake with people who I do agree with, who do have more of a common background and experience. It's a lot easier for me to share my thoughts, and not that I would ever be able to do that with people I don't agree with, but let's just face it, folks, sometimes it's just nice to be among friends, and that's exactly what he is. And it was
kind of enlightening for him to make that connection to the Holocaust Museum that we visited in Washington, D.C. just that recently, you know, that it was a day soon after Alfie Evans' case happened, and he made an immediate connection to Alfie Evans. Now, I had not talked to him about him doing this podcast and the topic being Alfie Evans, so for him to have said that was surprising. Why? Because I thought the same thing too. You see, it was really all about life and this whole idea for exclusive members to hear what even priests are learning from our leftovers. And I get it, you know, it's kind of corny, but it's the idea that we have to be more reflective. We have to be more willing to examine our consciences at the end of the day. That's what I consider learning from the leftovers. And in these past several weeks, you know, also as a podcast for exclusive members, they're going to get more up-to-date current thought and opinion commentary on contemporary issues. You know, for the most part, the shows are pre-recorded and they're going to be very general topics. They're still very relevant for the day. But sometimes people email me and ask me, what are your thoughts about this case that just happened this week? Like, what are your thoughts about the Starbucks arrest of those two guys? You know, that's now a couple weeks old, but still, it's contemporary enough where some people ask me for my opinion. And so what I've got to do is use this time and the exclusive content for premium members to just kind of share what my thoughts are. When I was listening to the recording afterwards, I obviously realized that there's more information that I even knew at that time, which is why my recommendation was just to relax. We can't have people be freaking out and living only in that moment. Yeah, granted, we're supposed to live every moment to its fullest ability, but we have to know it's not the only moment for us. We've got future moments where we're going to have to be growing and maturing in our thought process. What if I find out in like 2 weeks that Alfie Evans' parents were fabricating this entire thing? Will my opinion change? Oh, you better believe it. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think those parents, God bless them, they just want to be left alone right now in their grief and in their mourning and to try to strengthen their family. But I can say that oftentimes I've listened to news pundits and just people who also have a public ear, and they never are willing to change their opinion. And if they do have a change of opinion, they're going to be considered flip-floppers. And there are just going to be some things that my opinion might change about because my opinion will be better informed. And that's what this whole Shoot the Shiitake thing is all about. I'm trying to inform my opinion on things. But there are going to be just some things that I'm never going to waver on, folks. I'm sorry. And one of them is the pro-life cause. And the pro-life cause is simply this: to respect the dignity of life, human life, to respect the dignity of human life. Do you know what that means? It means that life, human life in particular, is endowed with a rational soul, a soul that is given to us by God who loves us to become more like Him. We are made in God's image and likeness. And so while there may be people who confuse the pro-life cause as simply respecting all life, all creatures as equal to humans, that's not true either. You know, you heard Father Hamilton say that he had the unfortunate situation of having to euthanize his dog. And why? Because his dog was going to definitely suffer more for the cancer that it had, simply because there's no dog hospitals run by dogs. I mean, just think about it. There are no hospitals that dogs have that they run, and they're doing their own research to try to get rid of dog cancer. And so there is a quote-unquote higher purpose in human life. I didn't say higher purpose in terms of haughty. I didn't say higher purpose in terms of looking down on other life forms. But, you know, this just requires us to understand more philosophy and theology about the different quote-unquote classifications of a soul. Like a rock has a soul. A tree has a soul. A dog has a soul, which is probably more a higher classification or a more specific classification than the soul of a mosquito who you have no trouble slapping on your arm if you see it ready to bite you. So if we take a look at the different qualities of a soul of every entity that exists today, so again, just take it from like a rock to a worm to a cat to a dog. And if you notice, I just put dog as higher rational soul than cats. I'm kidding with you. Don't cat lovers, don't hate me. You're going to hear the progress here. So from a rock to a cat to a dog to a human, there's a humongous leap for a human life, for a human soul. And so we believe in our Catholic faith that a human person, whether they are unborn or even incarcerated or even someone who I disagree with, a person, even if they are ready to die because they are so elderly or they are very sick in a hospital, they have almost a higher purpose. And that is to be the image and likeness of God. You know, the other thing I thought about too in this little carryout order, reflecting on my conversation with Father Hamilton, was, you know, some people could say that the right to die is just as much as a right to life. That is very misleading at best. It's just very misleading at best, because a person does have a right to die with dignity, but they got to remember that their life is not just about themselves. They are in relationship with other people. And that's why the church has, to this day, strong language regarding suicide. Now, please know, the language is now more tweaked and more pastoral, because the church is learning that people who may have committed suicide was not for malicious reasons. It was literally for the fact that they have some, I don't want to say mental disorder, but at least some psychological issues that prevents them from making a free choice on their own. But if this world is going to be comparing suicide and the right to die with the right to life for Alfie, you have got kind of like apples and oranges here. They're two different unique situations, because in Alfie's case, you saw he was struggling to live, and his parents, who were the caregivers, were doing everything they could to get him to continue to breathe. And so we just have to know that these issues are very sticky. They require a fine moral, philosophical, theological, biological distinctions, and to also make sure that sociological distinctions are made as well, because I would say that there was a majority of people in this world, even a very pro-abortion world, that would have said Alfie should be given some sort of treatment. I mean, that's just all there is to it. You saw a little baby struggling. You know, when all those pictures that you see of him kind of in that sedative comatose state, he wasn't like that when he was brought in the hospital. There have been subsequent articles coming out saying when he was brought to the hospital, it was for infrequent but occurring seizures. He didn't look like that. The medicine put him into that comatic state, in that very heavily sedated state. And so that's why he kind of appeared lifeless. That's why he appeared to be in a vegetative state. He wasn't brought into the hospital that way. He was brought into the hospital, you know, a quote-unquote healthy-ish boy that was experiencing seizures. And only then, after certain treatment, did he endure that kind of sedative sadness. So as I kind of think back at this Shoot the Shiitake, I just know, I'll be the first to admit, I have got a lot to learn too. I kind of got very caught up in the emotion and the passion of it all, that it kind of tempted me to get angry in a bitter and an unhealthy and perhaps an even a spiritually unhealthy way. And you know what that means? I got to kind of limit my news sources. And I know that there was a lot of divisive things in the news and even some very diverse opinions and even conflicting reports. And so I was halfway across the globe. I was across the pond. I was in the United States. I wasn't in England. I can't even imagine what it was like over there. But what I know is that I have still a lot to learn about this case. And so my opinion needs to be informed and improved. That's called forming our consciences. But there's one thing that I'm not going to flip-flop on, and that is the respect and the dignity of human life at all stages. Even if I don't like you, even if I completely disagree with you, I have to see in you the potential to truly be the image of a God who loves us and wants us to live. So that's my carry-out order. I've got to be willing to be better informed, but also strengthen my foundation to the core, to the most basic things of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm so grateful I am in America. So between now and the next time we gather, again, every week at about 3 o'clock, you're going to be getting a new show. And for exclusive sponsors, you're going to be hearing more of that kind of Christian Catholic focus with friends who might agree with me more pastoral discussions that might be more beneficial to you on a spiritual level, while the Shoot the Shiitake shows are really to help inform your sociological understanding so that we can be leaven in this world. And so for now, I just simply have to say, I hope you enjoyed the show, and until the next time, stay hungry.